Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so when life fades as a fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame.
May have played in it, but someone has to pay for the crime. other nights that I lay in my cell and can't understand why this hell and this terror that I've been going through for 21 years hasn't ended.
Still have the United States flag. We come from the people who have that. Still have the United States flag that was taken at Little Bighorn. The United States can never take that back, no matter what. That day can't be undone. And since then, to save face, they have done everything they could to humiliate us and annihilate us. They did. Wounded knee, and again showed their might at the second wounded knee. And on June 26, 1975, they did it again. They showed their might. They landed right behind my house in a big helicopter, unloaded 500 military men, and held me at gunpoint while I was sitting in the outhouse. But I walked to my door. They tried to come in, but I pushed them off my porch, went back in, kept my day going. If they wanted to kill me, they could have. It wouldn't be. They can't kill my spirit. They can't kill the spirit of our people. We'll always come back. No matter how they are, it doesn't. That's not what it's about. It's about what's in the heart and what we do for one another. But I'm very proud of myself.
Gorillas are those who know their power to make something out of nothing. The type of people that would table people that were turned against them. They create turntables, you know, and spin back history, cut it up, redefine it, and change something that makes sense to them, that will make sense for their people, whether it's psychological sense, spiritual, emotional. Gorillas are those that are there channeling that energy through love, through resistance, and making it something that will last.
will find the answers. So I encourage all people to find out about themselves. They're there. It didn't go away. It's still in the air. It's still in the air. So sacred. Every word we say will always be on this universe forever. Nothing can wipe it away. You can erase that tape, but you can't erase my words. Every sound we make, that's why they say, be careful what you say. Everything. So some people who go up, in a big air balloon, you know those big balloons? They say they can hear voices up there. Our voices are still all over. I just want to say thank you for this.
This is the Tashunka Witko Brigade, and you're listening to us from Free Radio Olympia, your unlicensed effort in the Olympia area. We try to bring you the indigenous voice unaltered. We refuse to take part of the mainstream media that brainwashes our people. So we want to bring you the real voices from the front lines. And we started the show with a prayer by Dakota Elder Melvin Gray Owl. And as usually we do, followed by Robbie Robertson's Sacrifice with the voice of Leonard Peltier, who is completing 30 years in prison for defending his people and his land. And there is, as far as we know, he will continue to be there unless the creator, Tonkashula, helps us out. In a few minutes, you will also hear from Rosalind Jumping Bull, the elder, the head of the Jumping Bull family, where the infamous incident at Oglala happened. And the main purpose for contacting her is so that she can let us know what are the needs for the children. The Leonard Peltier Defense Committee every year gets a holiday gift drive going, and there's a truck going from Illinois that will be taking clothes, winter clothes, and gifts for the children of the Pine Ridge Reservation. And she'll give us details on what is most needed and what the situation is right now. So these are voices from the ground, indigenous voices. And later on, of course, we will have commentary by Wambli Watakpe, my co-host. And this is Tanya here with the Tashunka Witko Brigade.
There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
In the spirit of the flower,
we choose the way of Earth.
In the spirit of Zapata, and in the spirit of crazy horse, crazy horse, crazy. To your mother, all my sisters and brothers, a sagrada don't have seen the sacred earth mother, the sacred earth mother, but she's only half alive, she's only half alive, but we need it to survive, we need it to survive, but we lost all our connection to the circle and the sacred four directions, the sacred 4D and its manifestations, reveals all material and all creation. To the earth, to the sky, to the father, to the earth, to the air, to the fire, to the water, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. When we used to live in harmony, we used to live the best. We used to give and take, we used to take and give. We used to be in balance, that's how we used to live. This is sacred circle, this is our connection. Our mother is sick and she's cut up on sections. How it was and how it still be. Unless we understand this, we will never be free. We will never be free unless we live in harmony. Aslan's destiny, destiny is Aslan, cause Aslan holds a key. Aslan holds a key for our people to be free. Aslan holds a key for the world to see that Aslan will save the world eventually. 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 Let us slow and say the word eventually. Let us slow and say the word eventually. Me back to you, Yasi, all my relations.
Because they can't break our spirit.
Hello. My name is Blacksmith Lakota. My Lakota name is Dwayawastewi. It means good scout woman. And I am Oglala, Hohwoju, Itazipacho, and Hunkpapa. Those are my ancestors. And I know my ancestors way back, seven generations. And very important, that identity. Very important to me so that I can tell my children who I am. And most of all, my values. I did not always know this, because I grew up in the way I grew up was through this modern education way, European education system, through Christianity, and yet somewhere in all that, I never did fit into those institutions, and I was always trying to be somebody I'm not. Deep inside, I always knew that it wasn't for me. And that tailspin me into a life of alcoholism. So 20 years of my life, I went into the road of alcoholism, but I had to be down on my face before I could get back up and find out. And only through returning, being brought back to the sacred center, the circle of the Lakota, our own way of life, that I am Lakota. Only then did I have the strength to stand up and face myself. And that's where we have a lot of our young people confused, because they grew up wanting to be somebody they're not. Today they idolize the sports people, you know, and they hang posters all over the wall of people they'll never be. They have all these real tall black basketball players hanging on the walls, and they have all these white wrestlers hanging on a wall, and that's somebody that they'll never be, and they can be proud, they can be happy for them, but to try to be somebody they're not is loss of identity. And that's the strongest, I think, it's a strong element in a person's life. When they lose that, there's nothing. When they don't know who they are gonna be. And here and in the community, as a mother, as an auntie, as a grandmother, after I recover and start to relearn about our own way of life, I find out that there's a real strong spiritual core there that is a foundation. And that, we had a way of life that was guided. And through the sacred circle. Have you ever seen a medicine wheel? Yeah, with the four quadrants. Yeah, those are all stages of our life. And when a young child passes their rites of passage, they're immediately put into a society. So they belong to whatever it is that they very good at in the Teoshpaye, in the band and in the clan of family. And today we don't have that. We really push European education and so we find nothing, you know, of their own. Whatever it is, we don't search their own, because the Lakota way, we believe that everybody comes here with a gift from the spirit world, and we're to share that gift and find strength with others who have the same gift. For example, people, there were societies of people who knew how to take care of animals, take care of the land, and take care of the quill work, the tanning of hides, preparation of foods, all the preparation of tools, singing, and the art of dancing. There were storytellers. There were people who kept history. You know, all these societies, whatever it was, even if it was just taking care of the birds, it was a society. Because it takes strength to take care of something so precious, so gentle. But we don't have that today. Instead, it's been replaced with the modern conveniences of a TV and all the video games that are on today, and their heads focused to some rich person, and in that there's no identity, so they become frustrated, and today they form gangs. So they're on the right path. They want to form a support group, so it's there, but the hope is to turn it into a society. We here in Oglala, we have 1970s, my Uncle Harry Jumpin' Bull and my father, blacksmith, they brought back the Kit Fox or Tokala Society to this Teoshpaye, this band here. And my father knew the songs, so they passed on the songs and the dance. It's keeping that going here amidst our own people here, it's a hardship. We brought in the society last night, and they're very happy, the society, and yet they don't realize we had to really beg for that time to bring them in. And some society members just walked in as I was on my way over here. But I don't know if they're going to give us the time tonight, because some of these people are afraid of these societies, because they think it's fast and not important. But to be a Tokala, it's to thine own self be true. A Tokala is not a club. It is a person who the basis of a Tokala in Lakota says, Taku o tehi ka he niu ha miemi tawa. All the hardships are mine. So a Tokala embraces all challenges and owns them, and therefore overcomes them, no matter what that challenge may be. And so to the Tokala means he is true to himself. And when he's true to himself, then only then can a Tokala help others. Because we can't help anybody else unless we're on solid ground. So during the rites of passage with young women, I have been involved in that. That came to me as a gift, a well-respected man. His name is Edwin Fills the Pipe. He passed away 6 months after he gave me this through his daughter. She was 6 years old. He gave me her through the making of a relative ceremony and asked me to rites of passage. 6 months later, he passed away. And I didn't know what he meant at that time, but only when this young girl became a woman then I understood what he meant. So through that, we started the womanhood in 1992. And we've been working with it. Every summer we try to have a place for the young women, and now there's young boys. So in this community, I work with what we call Ina Omaniche, Mother's Council, and we gather. We don't have formal meetings, but when the time is right, usually springtime, like in March, we're going to have a society gathering. And we're hoping to call young people tonight here on December 31st, 2000. We're trying to call for introductions. I mean, people who want to be inducted into the society. I acknowledge them. But once we don't have membership dues or anything like that. We don't have any requirements of them. We just tell them the teachings. And what they don't know, they must seek out for themselves. And but we always have to believe in them as human beings, no matter what, no matter the constant belief in them. And so we've been working with that society, myself and other mothers and fathers and grandfathers in this community, with restoring rites of passages and restoring the societies. Right now, the only one we have here is the Tokala Kit Fox Society. And from here, and the society ways, but a lot of times they try to call on us like we're a club, like a boys' club or girls' club, and expect us to perform like that. But it's to develop that person's, help him rather than enabling them, but to help them go through their hardships and face them and overcome them. That's the challenge, because here on this reservation, you know, Pine Ridge, I have seen a lot of change and a lot of growth, positive-wise. Too many times we dwell on a negative, and as for the poverty, they say that's here, the economic poverty, that's what it is. Yet we've overcome that, and we're really, you know, I'm really happy.
And you were listening of Philomene Blacksmith Lakota. And here on the phone we have live Grandma Rosalind Jumping Bull, who will tell us a little bit about the situation in Pine Ridge right now with the winter starting. And there's been some elders, some very important elders that have passed on to the spirit world. And there are things that need to be done when these things happen. So people that who care out there and want to help, Rosalind will give us some hints of what's needed. But before that, I would like for Wambli Watakpe to introduce the Jumping Bull family and Rosalind, Grandma Rosalind.
Hello. Yeah, this is Russ. I know it.
And I was supposed to talk on this. Am I talking now? Do you have me on now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're live now. I was going to do an introduction to the Olympia audience. This is Wambli Watakpe. And I got my name from Rosalind's family in 1982. This is my grandmother, my Lakota grandmother. And so I'd like to introduce you, Rosalind, to the Olympia Radio. So welcome. So maybe you can give us a little introduction on who you are, and then we can talk about some of the issues about the elders that have passed, and then also the toy drive for that you're directing, and then maybe we can go into some history.
This is Rosalind Jumping Bull, and I'm calling from Pine Ridge, mostly Oglala area. And we have a lot of problems in the wintertime with Some people are sitting here without lights or without propane. And what the elderly really need over here is blankets, maybe. And some other people are donating heaters, but it's no good when you don't have no electricity. So we're kind of having a little hard time now. It's really cold, and some of the children, they don't have warm clothes. I worked at the library, and some of the kids go to school without socks. Some still have sandals on, you know, summer shoes on. And there's a lot of other ways, and a lot of them, now I'm getting socks and stuff, stocking caps and gloves for the kids. But I take them to the school, Longman School, because that's where I'm working. And we give it out to the children. Every classroom gets, we make sure every classroom gets something like socks or a stocking cap and gloves with toys, you know, wrapped in toys. And so.
Do you have a phone number or somewhere to people can call or write that in case they wanted to make donations?
Well, I don't know about. Yeah, probably here, because I've been doing this for I don't know how many years now, because Leonard asked me to do this for the children, so they could contact me here. But I work in the mornings for 4 hours, and I come back in the afternoon. So mostly I am around in the afternoon. And it's kind of hard to get loan and school, because there's no phone to just to the front desk, you know, and they'll transfer you to the library where I'm working. But that's how we do business. I mean, do things. I'm the librarian, the one I'm working with. We take care of all this toys and stuff. You know, she helps me. Well, she does a lot of work for me. You know, she'll have a few of them wrap presents and stuff like that. So
could you? What is the situation with the weather? And you said it was cold, and maybe some of the people around here think.
Right now, there's another blizzard coming. We just got through it. Well, it was cold since first part of December. It's been blizzard over here, so it's really cold. And some of this, there's a trailer courts right behind my house, and those people, their pipes busted. And my son here he works for the Oglala, the White Clay District. But he used to work with FEMA, so those are FEMA trailer houses. So if anything happens, they call him right away. He goes over there and, you know, shuts the water off and or change pipes and everything for them, you know. So and he stays here with me. So there's a lot of work, you know, that needs to be done to help them through the summer, through the winter. Summer's all right. Without lights and stuff, but winter time that you can't do that because it's too cold.
What is the temperature there?
Well, today was 41, I think, somewhere around that.
41, is that?
It's going to drop again, I don't know.
Is that 41 degrees below zero?
Yeah, sometimes, zero all the way. We're about 1 week straight, I think. But now it went up to 41, I think, and still another big storm is coming, so it got really windy this afternoon. So it's kind of up and down, I don't know. We always have a hard winter anyway. So.
Can you talk a little bit about the passing of Geraldine and even your brother? And
my brother passed away July 1st. That's where we have the shootout, you know. So we always have that gathering there on June 26th. And yeah, he passed away July 1st. and Geraldine, we just buried her today. And she helps me with toy drive, you know, Leonard Peltier's toy drive. Leonard told me and picked me and her to do the toy drive, but she passed away. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But and for my brother, we're getting ready for his memorial for next year. I think we're going to, I don't know what we're going to do. I think we're not going to have the June 26th memorial we're going to have it earlier. I think my brother, we're going to have his memorial on the 18th. So June 18th, Father's Day. So I think that's what we're going to do, and kind of let this other one go till next year maybe. But I want to do something for Geraldine too, honor, you know, that same day. I want to have an honoring, what do you call, for her too. Because I and her were the only ones that left. Here she's gone now. So. But Leonard's supposed to call her. I don't know. Or call her daughter. I don't know if he did or not. To deliver a message. Oh, I mean, call her on the phone. But I don't know if she ever got the message.
Not
to ask her.
Yeah, maybe for the people around here, they don't really know that much about the shootout and the incident in the incident of Oglala. So, and for our listeners out there, the Rosalind is the family member of the ranch area in called the Jumping Bull Ranch, in which the FBI agents entered their property, serving a warrant for, as it turns out, a fictitious warrant for a person that they knew wasn't on the property, and that ensued into a battle, a firefight, in which two of the FBI agents that started the fight were killed, and then along with Joe Stuntz. And so, Rosalind, you can jump in here and explain a little bit about that, if you would.
About the shootout?
Yeah, just give a historical account or in your own words, and then...
them boys were, Leonard and them boys were with us, and